Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, December the 22nd, a couple of days before Christmas. I'm assuming that many of you are getting ready for the season. I certainly am. You know, one of the things that usually happens with me is that I don't really get into it until like the 15th. And then usually at first, you know, I'll listen to songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bell Rock. But as we get closer to the 25th, like right now, as we're getting closer to the 25th, I tend to focus more on the traditional carols. And I tend to think a lot more about what it means, you know, the birth of Christ. So I kind of go from Christmas and Jingle Bell Rock to thinking more about the birth of Christ. And that's kind of where I am right now. You know, I'm just more into the traditional carols. I love Silent Night. O Holy Night is one of my favorite songs. Anyway, getting ready for Christmas. I'm sure all of you are too. We're going to go shopping Sunday afternoon. I've got a few things I've got to purchase, but everybody getting ready for Christmas, and that's a wonderful thing. Well, today we're going to talk about the shutdown, which is really not a shutdown because, you know, whatever you need from government, you're still going to find, but they call it a shutdown, I think, more for political drama than anything else. We're going to talk about President Trump and the statements that he made about Syria. I think sometimes, honestly, President Trump is his own worst enemy when it comes to many of these activities. So today we'll be talking a little bit about that. But let me begin by referring you to a post that will be out Sunday morning over at the American Thinker, a post that is about Sweden and what is happening in Sweden. You know, I was reading this article by a gentleman from Europe. His name is David. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. The initials are NGO, so I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, that's his last name, NGO. And this gentleman is a correspondent for a European website or magazine, and he just wrote an article about a trip that he took to Sweden and where he was completely overwhelmed by what he saw in Sweden. You know, we have this image of Sweden, ABBA. ABBA is the image that many of us baby boomers have of Sweden, you know, these cute little girls, you know. Well, Sweden for many years was like, you know, the paradise for multiculturalism, liberal ideas, and so on. But right now, Sweden is a country in turmoil. You've had a lot of violence lately. As he was explaining, you travel through Stockholm or the capital city or Sweden in general. You travel around there. And you see this, you see a very segregated country. On one hand, you see what we would call Sweden. And then on the other hand, you see these neighborhoods of immigrants from different parts of the Middle East. And there's absolutely no communication between these two groups. In fact, in many of these neighborhoods, they're practicing things like sexual segregation and in many ways sexual discrimination and in many ways intolerance to many of our Western values. And they're practicing all of these things, and, you know, nobody can do anything about it. The police doesn't even go in there. So it's really an interesting message for us here in the West. And the title of my article is The Ghost of Christmas Future is Spending Christmas in Sweden. Because I think we in the West have got to understand what multiculturalism really means and how multiculturalism may very well be a way of destroying our society. I'm not against immigration. I think immigration is a good thing, particularly when you're bringing in talent and people who makes your country better. But there has to be assimilation. There has to be assimilation. And that's not what we're seeing in Europe and many of these countries. Because of the lack of assimilation, what you're basically doing is you're creating basically multiple communities that cannot understand each other because they literally are different. Not just in language, but in customs and so on. And that's what we got to keep an eye on here in the United States. Yes, immigration is a great thing, but immigrants have to assimilate. Because if they don't assimilate, then what you end up having is what you're seeing in Stockholm and many other cities in Europe, which is a real mess. That's all I can tell you, a real mess. So check out my article Sunday morning over at the American Thinker and let me know what you think of it. You can comment right there on the article over at the American Thinker. Well, President Trump in Syria. Look, I actually agree with President Trump that it's time for us to reconsider many of these military, I wouldn't call them adventures, but many of these military operations. I supported the war in Iraq. I think the war in Iraq was necessary to make sure that Saddam Hussein was removed and that Saddam Hussein didn't have weapons of mass destruction. I think we were successful in that enterprise, and we did a very good job of putting Iraq back together. Iraq today is a country with problems, but headed in the right direction. Afghanistan, of course, the issue there is not so much nation building, because there's really not a nation to build. The issue there is making sure that Afghanistan does not become a haven for terrorist groups, as happened in the 1990s. So I support what we're doing in Afghanistan, which is in essence just keeping an eye on these people and chasing them from here to there to make sure that they don't become a haven, if you will, or a place for future terrorist operations. In the case of Syria and in the case of Libya, but more Syria, never really understood that operation. Syria is a very complicated civil war that we're not going to fix, that our troops are not going to fix. And I think it, you know, President Trump is right in saying, you know what, we've done as much as we can do here. And, you know, it's time to move on. Now, my disagreement with President Trump is how he did it. I would not have gone public with this, because now you have the phenomenon of having the Secretary of Defense leave. He was going to leave anyway, from what I understand. He was going to retire anyway. But now he's leaving, and now you have that letter being published that, you know, saying that, you know, President Trump needs a Secretary of Defense who's aligned with his views. So, you know, now you got to go through all of that, and the media jumps on it, the Democrats jump on it, and the whole darn thing is a problem that you didn't have to have. You didn't have to have. So he could have done it differently. He could have called in Secretary of Defense Mattis and say, look, you know, I really need to pull out. I know you disagree. So let's just, you know, let's work on this, and, you know, let's bring about a transition to the next Secretary of Defense. But by doing it the way he did it, you know, he's giving the opposition something to scream about. And that's not a good thing, even though everyone in the opposition agrees with him that we should get out of Syria. I mean, it's laughable to watch these Democrats talk about Syria. I mean, they're the first ones who were calling for a pullout not long ago. So there's a lot of politics, a lot of partisan politics involved. But I can tell you this much. President Trump really needs to just not necessarily change his style. His style is his style, and nothing's going to change that. But he's got to understand from time to time that, you know, it's not a bad idea to think before you leap. Not a bad idea to maybe hold back a little bit. You don't have to tweet everything. You don't have to tell us everything. Sometimes it's a good idea just to hold back a little bit. And just, we don't need to know everything right away. Anyway, we've got to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Merry Christmas. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We got a couple of links on the show information under the show description. We have a link to my friend Carlos Geddes, who's a musician here in the Dallas area. We play his music on the show. And we also have a link to my friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer here in Texas. So if you're looking for a car, check with Duke. If you want to go out and enjoy some of this wonderful Christmas music and going out for Christmas, check with my friend Carlos. He's always playing around town here or there. On this day in history, 1949, Robin and Morris Gibb, they're the twins, the two twins in the Bee Gees were born. Robin died in 2012, Morris died in 2003, but along with her brother Barry, they were the Bee Gees, Barry, Robin, and Morris Gibb, and they were one of the most successful pop groups of the last 50 years. There was a lot more to the Bee Gees than Saturday Night Fever, I can tell you that as a fan. A heck of a lot more to them than Saturday Night Fever, although I understand most people relate them with Saturday Night Fever, but there was a heck of a lot more to their musical career than Saturday Night Fever. Some great songs that they wrote before and after Saturday Night Fever. And on this day in 1968, Julie Nixon and David Eisenhower were married. We say happy number 50. Julie, of course, the daughter of President Nixon. David, the grandson of President Eisenhower. They met when they were little kids during the second term of President Eisenhower, when Vice President Nixon was working for President Eisenhower. They met then, they stayed in touch, and I guess when they became teenagers, they fell in love and they were married on this day in 1968. They were married like maybe a month after the election of President Nixon, so they were still in the transition between President Nixon or President-elect Nixon and President Johnson, and they were married during the transition. I guess they didn't want to have a White House wedding, you know, a big White House wedding like the other sister did. Trisha Nixon had a big White House wedding, but they didn't want to have that. They just wanted to have their own little private wedding, and that's the way it turned out. Julie Nixon and David Eisenhower, really good people, really good people. I've had a chance to see them off stage, and they're really nice, nice people. Well, we have a shutdown, as you probably heard. It's kind of it's an exaggeration. It's not really a shutdown because nothing is really shut down. I mean, the government operates pretty much all of the essentials are working. And in many ways, people wouldn't even know that their government was shut down if it wasn't for all the publicity. So this kind of becomes a little bit of political drama, and both sides do it. I mean, both sides play this game. I'm not going to play games with you. Both sides play this game. The Democrats did it in March over DACA. It didn't work out real well for them. And the Republicans are doing it now over the wall, the funding for the wall. And we'll see how it works out. I happen to think that funding for the wall is essential. And I think that wall is essential for lots and lots of reasons. Nobody ever wants to talk about the wall as a barrier to keep things from going to Mexico. And what I'm talking about here is drugs and not drugs, but money. Money and guns are going south. And if you build this barrier, it is going to be a lot more difficult for the cartels to bring things north, whether it's drugs, whether it's human trafficking, whatever it may be. It's going to be a lot more complicated for them to bring it north. So I don't understand the opposition to the wall. I think it's fairly obvious to anybody watching that the border is out of control. We cannot, as a country, have a border like that. We cannot, as a country, allow our border to be violated on a daily basis. And I really don't get the Democrats here. I really don't. $5 billion is a very small sum of money. So what that tells me, is that they're playing politics with the wall. There's an element within the Democrat Party that does not want to say yes to anything proposed by President Trump. Now, I think that's going to change, by the way, in a few weeks when they take over the House. Because what's going to happen now is they're going to have to write a budget and they're going to have to deliver something. And the one biggest leverage that they have on President Trump, I mean, if they want to get anything done, they've got to negotiate with President Trump. And if I was a Democrat, I'd be sitting there saying, okay, President Trump, we'll give you the $5 billion for the funding. Now we want this, and we want this, and we want that. And I thought the best deal, frankly, could have been DACA. You know, let's take care of the Dreamers. Let's take care of DACA, and let's take care of the wall. I thought that was a perfect match. I thought that was a perfect opportunity for both sides to gain something, to take care of the Dreamers. I support legalizing the Dreamers, and then to take care of the wall. I thought this would have been a great opportunity for both sides to stand back and win something, and we take care of two big problems, the wall and the Dreamers. And then we can have other debates about other things related to immigration. But if you can take care of the border, if you can assure the American people that the border is under control and that the government of the United States is going to enforce immigration laws by protecting the border and by keeping illegal immigrants out of the country. If you can do that, I think you're going to see a lot of Americans are going to be a lot more sympathetic about the people who are already here, who've been here for years, and might even be willing to legalize them in exchange for some of these other things. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And again, Merry Christmas.